From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Collins Asabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
So the Bible says that when an evil spirit leaves somebody, I'm just making a point and I'll go on. The Bible says when an evil spirit leaves somebody, he goes around out of a man, he walks through dry places, then what? Seeking rest and findeth none. The Bible said, then he said, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished. Saskia, are you listening? So, the Bible says that if and when an evil spirit leaves somebody, and then, so this is how demons work. This is how the invisible enemy works. When he leaves a body, when we do deliverance, Giddens, are you there? I know you like these kind of teachings. when the evil spirit leaves somebody's body, the Bible says he goes away. Then he comes back to peep to see whether the space he occupied is still available. What you must understand is that there are spaces in our bodies. So Jesus lives in our heart. Demons can also come and live in some part of our bodies. So that part of the body that the demon comes to occupy, when you go to a deliverance service and the demon is cast out, then the Bible says demons go away. But then he comes back to see whether the place where he left is still empty. Which means that when a demon leaves you, there are certain things you need to do to make sure that if they were to come back, they will not find a space. But that is something that people are not taught. People don't know about. So when you cast a devil out of somebody, you are actually doing the person harm than good if you don't teach them how to keep the space occupied. Because the Bible says that when he comes back in verse 35, he says, when he comes back, verse 35, he says, when he comes and he says, then goeth he and taketh with him himself seven other spirits. When he comes and he sees that there's a space, the Bible says he goes and calls seven of his friends who are also looking for an apartment. Two-bedroom apartment, three-bedroom apartment, semi-furnished or furnished or unfurnished. They say, hey, here I found a place that can contain all eight of us. The Bible says, and they come and they enter in and they dwell there. And the Bible says, the last state of that man is worse than the first. It means that now that the demon has come back with seven other demons, it is worse than when one demon was there. Which means that it is better to leave a demon alone in your body than to cast it out if you don't know how to manage yourself. So when you go Friday to deliverance service in good intent, the Thursday you go to deliverance service in Sisters, and they cast out the devil. And they don't teach you how to keep the space that has been created occupied. By the time you come next week, it's not one devil, it's eight. So if there were two devils that were cast out, then two of them come back with seven each. So it's eight. It becomes 16 devils. Now, it is difficult to cast out 16 devils than to cast out two devils. I've cast out devils from people many times. Sometimes when you are praying for the person and then you ask, what is your name? How many are you? They say, we are seven. But he's lying. They are nine. I've had that before. So he said, oh, we are five. I said, okay, what is your name? Then he mentions depression. I write it down. He said, frustration. I write it down. We get to five. I said, okay, good. Now, I want you all to go. They said, no, we won't go. I said, you guys are not going to go. Okay, we'll see who's who here. Which power is powerful? Then I said, come out. He said, one. They go, come out. Two. You do it, and then five times they come out. Then you realize that, it's more than five. Yeah? So, do not go for deliverance service if they will not teach you how to keep the space occupied after deliverance. Those of you who like deliverance, Once you go and they touch you, you feel whoosh, 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 whoosh. You want to go again. Huh? You are smooching. You have fear it. Yeah, I fear it. Ouch! I fear it. You're fearing the power of the God. I fear it. Every Thursday you want to go. Every Thursday you're going to go. So how many demons do you have? We need to lock you up. We need to lock you up in some room. Because the demons you have is too much. We need to have prison for demon, the people who are possessed by devils. Because you are worrying us. And pastors who don't understand, every week, come out! Come out! In the name of Jesus, come out! Hey, how much cook up can you eat to say, every week, come out, come out, come out, come out? How many tenants are you evicting out of the apartment? Every week you become an evictor. You're evicting tenants out of people's houses. Abba, every Thursday, you've taken a job of a what? Court martial or something. But we want to understand why demons want to enter your body. The Bible talks in Mark chapter 5 about a man that had demons. He's called a madman of Gadara. He had over 6,000 devils in his life. One man. He had 6,000. Basma, I see you already. So you better come inside. I came to stand here right to wait for you. Okay, let me preach. The Bible says there was a man, nice man, like my friend here, but he had 6,000 devils in his body. Now the devils were so much that nobody could control the man. It means that the Bible says that they put chains. I come from Africa. I come from Ghana, West Africa. And I know some Obia people. Some people take people who are, you know, sometimes some people, they behave like they are mad. They have devils and they take them to see the Obia people. Some of the Obia people will chain these people who have these devils. They will chain them to a tree all night. When you ask them why they are doing that, they say they want to drive the demons out of them. As if demons, when it's dark and it's really, they are afraid of that. They do that all. Some even beat them. They take brooms and whips and they rip. They will like, rip, rip. As they beat them, they say the devils will go. Devils don't go when you beat them up. So, why will 6,000 devils want to come and live in somebody? Ladies and gentlemen, why do demons want to come and live in you and me? They are our invisible enemies. And they like to come and live in us. Many of us don't know how to keep out the doors of our lives closed. One of the things that allow a lot of one of the things mediums that allow a lot of devils into our lives is through sex. Those of you who are busy with cheeky cheeky, you know, cheeky cheeky, cheeky cheeky. Someone say juk juk. Juk juk is as we upgraded. The iOS is passed. It's a new iOS. Cheeky cheeky. That's the latest version. It is one of the commonest things in Guyana that introduces demons into people's lives. And many people are sitting down here, I'm sure, have demons. It's true. As long as you have done cheeky cheeky with somebody before, you know, cheeky cheeky. You are likely
to have been violated. The first thing, the first reason why demons want to enter into you is that in verse 43, Matthew 12 and verse 43. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places. The reason why demons want to enter into an individual is that they are thirsty. Because when they leave a human being's body, the Bible says they go toward, when they leave, they enter into dry places. Which means that when they are inside, it's not dry. So it is the dryness outside that individual's body that makes demons not want to stay outside but come inside. It means that you are full of substance. You are juicy. You are edible. You are succulent. You are full of water. When the demons are in you, they feel nourished. Yes. Look at how you look. You look so plumpy and so nice. Look at your nice face. Put cream on your face. Drink juice. Drink water. Ice cream from DQ. Ice cream from Brewster's. Demons want to eat some of the ice cream. So they want to come and stay inside of you. Eat it, cook up. Shine rice. Eat it, all kinds of fantastic things. When guys bow. This. That. You look well. You look good. You look okay. So when the demons live in you, they feel refreshed. When they get outside, the Bible says they enter into a dry environment. And they don't like the dryness. So when demons are out of your body, they are thirsty. And there's nobody who is thirsty who doesn't want to drink something. I said there's nobody here who, when you are thirsty, will not call for either water or juice or something. You see, there's something like thirst. There's nothing like thirst. The Bible even says that God will give water to souls that are thirsty. It's in Isaiah. Look for that verse for me. He will give water to the thirsty souls. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So the thirst is a certain lack that anybody will feel. God will feel the thirst. The devil also wants to satisfy his thirst. So when the devil and demons are in us, or demons are in you, they feel satisfied. They feel strong. They feel okay. They feel nourished. They feel satisfied. When they are cast out, they can't handle it. Who wants to be in the desert? You know what it means to live in the desert? I saw a documentary. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. Is that not a response to thirst? It is a response to thirst. It's a promise to thirst. So when the demons are thirsty outside the body, they too want to make sure that the thirst, that the situation they are in is taken care of. Who wants to be thirsty? Who wants to walk all day thirsty? Hey, people drink things though. Even if the water is not clean, you drink it. It's better to drink some water that is not clean than to die of thirst. I saw a documentary of Africans trying to flee Africa into Europe. And many of them dared to cross the Sahara Desert. One of the driest places in the whole continent, or even the whole world. You know, you have the Amazon, which is the forest. It's filled with all kinds of things, water, all kinds of animals, anacondas, and all kinds of things. But you also have in Africa, somewhere in the Midwest, somehow, you have the Sahara Desert. It is a very wide, large area of the African continent that is just sand. It's sand. There's no trees, sand. I think only cactus is what you find there. It is dry. You can go and go. It's like you're on the sea. You can go and go and go and go, and then you're not finishing. A sea of sand. And many Africans, because when you cross the Sahara Desert, you get to North Africa, where you have Algeria, you have Morocco. Once you get to Morocco, you take a boat. It's just like maybe, I'm sure it's Freedom Hope, Georgetown, or Trinidad, Guyana. They cross and they get to Spain. When they get to Spain, woo, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I'm prospering already from Spain. You can go to Portugal, you can go to France, you can go to Belgium, go to Germany, you can go to Holland, you can go to Luxembourg, they can go all over. The first place they need to go to Spain. And many Africans try to traverse the Sahara Desert. You know what they die of? Thirst. The place is so dry. They try to carry water cans. The place is hot. The sand is thick. Sometimes 2 feet, 3 feet thick sand. Where you put your leg inside like that. Like that. Dry and hot. And in the night it gets cold. I saw the documentary. CNN. This CNN people, they are bad. I tell you. They went to follow people. And one of the saddest things was, at a point, and they used a helicopter, so they were able to move around. You could see skulls. You see people's ribs, bones on the desert like that. People have died. They have died in the desert. And their skin, they have dried up. They decomposed, decayed. Everything, you see just the skull. You see the ribs, the legs, skeletons lying on the desert. And the cause of death is thirst. When demons are out of a human being's body, they are thirsty. Because the Bible says that they enter into dry places. So they want to come into your body. All they need is some small mistake, they'll come. That is why you can have 6,400 and something demons living in one person. All of them want some water to drink. All of them want water to drink. So you can imagine that if you don't take care, this is a leader. If you don't take care, a devil can easily enter into you, will not even see. Because he knows if you see, you drive him out. You go to Georgetown, you have a lot of squatters. So if I was president, I'll move all the squatters. You see that they won't vote for me in the next election. It's not easy to take people away from the land that even though they are illegal occupants of the land, they still don't want to go. Hey, because if they leave those places, where are they going to? I mean, human beings, how much more demons, enemies, spiritual, supernatural, invisible enemies, enemies of God, enemies of God's people, enemies of God's children, if they ever find space in your life. That is why deliverance is so popular. That's why people do deliverance every week, because it is one of the most common subjects. People dread demons living in them. Because once they come to live in you, you have to pray to God. Everything bad is what they do. Everything negative is what they do. Today I was talking to somebody who was telling me the stories the person was talking to me. I said, you know what? Is there something you are not telling me? Because you are telling me about the problems. But you are not telling me about the causes of the problems. It's as if the problem has then jumped out of the sky and come into your life. But the way you are talking about the problem is so severe, it's so chronic, it's so irregular and consistent. The problem is faithful. The problem is loyal. It's faithful because the problem is consistent. It is trustworthy. I mean, you almost know that problems are going to come. I said, it is too much for you not to tell me why these problems are coming. You see, you can't come to me and say, Bishop, this. I said, okay, let's pray. I want to know, what did you do? I feel like you've done something. I said, I feel there's something you are not telling me. I can't come and heal you and give you injection of something I don't know the cause of. You think because we are bishops, we are pastors, we just feel for people, so we should pray for them. At the end of the person said, I don't have money. That was the end of the conversation. I said, tell me why this problem is too much. The problems are too much. Even me, who is not facing the problems, I sense too deep that something wrong. And if I were you, I'd rather find the solution, the cause, the root cause of the problem, than to just expect some magic. Ooh. You don't even understand how you got free. You don't even understand how the thing went. I have to take you through a certain understanding process for you to understand why you are going through what you are going through and how to get rid of the problem, so that when you are helped, you actually will take care that this thing doesn't happen to you again. That is someone who loves you. It's not someone who says, that's... You say, hey, I'm free. Oh, thank you very much. Take this. Next time when it happens, you don't even know that it has happened to you. Demons want to enter into your body. I tell you. That's why you have to be careful where you eat. How do they enter? That's another subject. Like I said, they enter through sexual intercourse. They enter through food. They enter through clothing. I remember those days in our church in Georgetown, where there were some girls who were sent by the devil into our church. So I had a choir. I had a choir of young girls. Hey, demons. Hey. Every night I was casting devils. Every night I was casting devils. Because what was happening is that they used to play among themselves. You know, young girls in a choir. Of course, when you're a pastor, there's nothing wrong when young girls in a choir, they are all liming and gaffing and you know, touching one another and combing each other's hair. It's not normal. I see. What was not normal about it is we don't comb hair in the church. That was the only thing that wasn't normal about it. You want to comb hair? Go and comb the whole hair in the house. Go to the salon. You see the thing? Because you can easily see young girls in the church after church, you know, somebody combing somebody hair. And it's not, why? I mean, if somebody combs somebody hair, the person needs help. It's not a problem. The problem is that combing hair doesn't happen in the church. The church is not a place where people comb their hair. So if people are combing hair in the church, you should be a little suspicious about it. You shouldn't just say, oh, man, yeah, they're helping one another. And that was how some of the girls were putting demons on other girls. Yeah. Hey, that season was a season of demon. When that season passed, I mean, I don't like to cast out devils anymore. If you have devil, I said, sister, it's better you keep the devil. It's better for you. I'm a doctor. I'm advising you. Because if I cast out this devil and you go back into that gang you have in school, you go back into that house you live in, and you're playing bacchanal music, and you're doing all kinds of things, and you do all kinds of foolish things. You have those friends. You're playing alkaline, popcorn music, and all them things. The demons will be too much. So I prefer you play popcorn and... alkaline music with the two demons you have. With the two. Rather than casting them out, selling, and going back and attracting 16. I don't have energy to cast 16. And you know, some of these church members, even when you cast out devils from them, they won't even say thank you. So, hey, this church, everything is money. But, hey, they helped you. The man cast out devils from you. You go to a restaurant, you eat and you don't pay. You know what they will do to you? Police will call police for you. When it comes to those things, they say, oh, but church, why? What are the things about God? Why are they asking for money for the things about God? But when you came and you said you couldn't sleep, you say when you sleep, something is on your chest pressing you down. Now I finished praying for you, you feel light. It's not nice when you say, man, Bishop, it's a little top up card. Did you say 220, man? Don't hold this, huh? God bless you. Is it not nice to do that? When you go and say, oh, your church thing today, one morning and things, oh, your face. Take your demons and go away. No, people like the solution, but they don't like to be grateful for the solution. So So demons like to enter into people because they don't like the dryness. They want to come to a place where it is not dry. No, they don't like the desert. Number two. I give you two and we'll close for tonight. Short evening. I like preaching short. I'm a man to go home quickly. He got some clients waiting for him. When demons, the reason why demons want to enter into you is because when they are out of your body, they don't have rest. Who gets rest when they are out of their building, when they are out of their homes? Everybody is sleeping. You are walking out in the night. Hey, who wants to be a waka waka? You waka 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 all over the place. I waka walk all over, all over. Akeko, akeko, that's something, something, something. I walk and walk all over, all over. So demons like to enter into people because when they are not in people, they don't find rest. So number one, they don't like to be thirsty. They don't like to experience dryness. Number two, they don't want to be restless. Nobody wants to be restless. Have you had a night where you've been turning on your bed before? You turn on the left, you turn on the right, you get up, you go to the fridge, you don't like to eat anything, you go back, you sleep, you try to do something, you do this, you take off your shirt, you think maybe it's the heat, you are there, you try to close your eyes, another half an hour you're not closing your eyes, you sit up, you try and sit up and see if you can read something. When you open the Bible, you don't feel like reading it, you put it down. Do you know somebody or have you experienced something like that before? A restless night. Hey, especially when there are a lot of things on your mind. Yeah. Yeah, no, it doesn't like this thing. Hey. I don't want to share my story with you, but I was talking to the Lord the other day, because we were talking about some things, and it made me restless in my mind. I was thinking about it over a couple of days. Then yesterday, the Lord sent me a message. He said, he actually decided not to talk to me again. But he has decided to break his silence. And he gave me some reasons. One of the reasons was that he was hurt to see me struggle and be restless. You are quiet. You see, I said, I feel like I'm born again. It's now that I'm born again. I don't know your experience, but I don't think you know God as yet. You need to talk to me more. I will share some experiences with you. I don't think we know God at all. When God comes close to you, you don't live your Christian life will be something else. I was very shocked. But I was happy at the same time that he broke his silence. Because I come and talk and say, I got a test message. It's the exciting part, but the content is the difficult part. Yeah. One of the reasons that he said, He broke his silence. I know he's hearing me. Because one day Angel Gabriel messaged me and said, "Do you remember you told your people one day you won't talk again? You remember I said that?" He said, "Don't make your father also decide to not talk again." I said, "Hey, whatever you're talking about, it's being heard somewhere. All that we are talking about, it's being heard somewhere. You think that what we are doing here, nobody's hearing it. It is being recorded." He said, "You remember? Do you remember you told your people that one day you will not speak again?" He said, "Don't let your father also not speak to you again." I said, "Hey, when we are talking, we should be careful." Very serious. But one of the comforting things the Lord, God told me that made him break his silence, that I was very proud and I felt nice about, was that. I mean, it's a whole thing. It's not your business, but I'm just showing you something. Thank you. He said that Angel Gabriel pleaded for me. He said, not only Angel Gabriel, he said, "Your Lord and Master also pleaded for you. So I have decided to break my silence." I see, the Bible says that he is sitting on the right hand side of the Father, interceding for us. So it's biblical. Except that when it becomes real to you, it's different. Yeah. There's a court, there's jail, there's prison and all of that. You pass by the prison, you pass by the police station, you don't feel anything. The day you find yourself in the lockups, then police station, you begin to feel police station. You tell people, please don't get yourself into trouble. Hey, you got lockups. Hey, the police, they are not nice at all. But you see, when you go and pass and go around and you've not had any problem, you don't feel it. You don't feel that even the police, they are even powerful. There's something called the law. That's what I'm saying. Because we know in the Bible that he's interceding for us. But when God sends me a message and he says that your Lord and Master spoke about this case, and that's why I have dropped this case and I've decided to talk to you, then you feel very different. It's just like prophecy. God says he knows, the Bible says God knows the plan he has for us to prosper us and all of that. But if God says that, "Samuel, I will bless you tomorrow, this week, this month, expect some money," it's different. It's as if God has never told you before that he loves you and he will take care of you. It becomes more real. Yeah, it's coming, cry. Practically. Are you with me? So, rest. Restless. When somebody's restless, they want to find rest. When we are restless, we want to find rest. In the same manner, demons want to come into your body because when they are outside your body, they are restless. Don't give rest to any demon, please. Don't offer yourself as a drinking Guyana water and sewage company for any demon. Your body is not a water source. Your body is not a home or a house for any demon to rest. Your body is not Marriott Hotel. You are not a 5-star hotel for demons. You may be a 5-star hotel for God Almighty, but not for demons. Don't offer yourself. Don't give up your body. Don't offer any part of yourself for any demon to come in and to find rest. May you be free from every demon that oppresses your life. Stand to your feet, please, tonight. I feel like some demons should get out tonight. Put your right hand on your stomach, please, wherever you are standing. I hope you are born again. Come on, begin to speak in tongues. With your right hand on your stomach, begin to speak in tongues. Any demon who is resting, I command you to wake up from your rest.
I command you to wake up from your rest right now. In the name of Jesus. Wake up from your rest. Wake up from your rest. Kabra 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 kabranda la baba ba. Kabrandere me kebrese teberebe. Makata tata barabando. Kerebe kebrendere bebe. Your right hand on your stomach. Your right hand on your belly. Le kabrose tebe. Kaya barabande. Rakata tata baraba kabranda. Rike berebe kebrendere me kebrendere. Riso toto toboro kobrondo la baba. Makata tata baba. Ike breke brendere me kerie. Risa tata tata baba. Makata brondo la baba. I awaken you, any evil spirit, any demonic presence that is sleeping in your body, that is sleeping in your life. You hear my voice. Wake up now. Wake up now. Wake up now. And get out of that resting place. Wake up now. Get out of that resting place. I take control. Absolute dominion. Over everyone here tonight, as a shepherd, as the overseer, le kabrasa tarababa. Bible says I oversee people's souls. Any evil power, any evil presence that is resting, that is hiding, that is sleeping in your life, I command it to wake up. I command him to wake up. I command her to wake up. And disappear, and disappear, and go, right now. Wake up. I said, wake up. I said, demons, wake up. Devils, wake up. And leave the bodies of God's people. In the name of Jesus. Leke pres katabarababa. Katatatabaraba. Kendere meke presetete. Riko brobobo sotoboromo kabrababa. You are here tonight, you are not saved, you are not born again. Maybe you are here for the first time, second time, third time. You've been coming to church, but you know deep down in your heart, if you die right now, you know you will not go to heaven. The Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, judgment. Are you ready for the judgment? If you are not, if you are not, and God is calling you tonight. He wants to save you. He wants to wash you clean with his blood. So that on the judgment day, you will not be found guilty. You want to say tonight, Bishop, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to open my heart. I want to say the sinner's prayer. I want to hand over the keys of my life to Jesus Christ tonight. If you're here like that, God is talking to you tonight. All I want you to do is to just lift up your right hand. And I'll pray with you. Bishop, I don't want to leave. I don't want to go home without finding peace with God. Tonight, Bishop, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. Wherever you are, just your right hand up high. And I'll pray with you. I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. Don't go home without giving your life, your heart to Jesus. God bless you. I see that hand. I want to ask you to please come to the front. I want to pray with you. Will you come? Clap for them as they come. There are a few people lifted up their hands. Come, clap for them as they come.
Giving your life today. Come on.
Bless you. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. See, when you are going to hell to burn in fire, you will not be shy. You will holler. This is a decision of a lifetime. So you lifted up your hand. You are not shy. You are not afraid. This is one of the best decisions you are making with your life. It's like you are in a vehicle, and the vehicle is going to get into an accident. And you see it. You don't sit in the vehicle and go and die. You jump out if you can. That is the opportunity God is giving to you tonight. He's giving you an opportunity to jump out of that vehicle that is destined to crash and that you lose your life in it. Tonight, you want to make peace with God. Come to the front if you are here. Don't leave the service without having peace with God. This is his house. Fix it before you go. Thank you, Jesus. Every eye closed. And those of you in front, I want you to pray this prayer with me from the bottom of your heart. The Bible says that you can only love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your heart. If you really love God, you want to experience God's grace and His love, His salvation is available. All that the Bible says you should do is that you believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth. So I want you to pray this prayer with me tonight. I want the church to join in as we pray. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I humble myself and I acknowledge my sins. I am a sinner. I have not been living right. But tonight, I surrender my life to you. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. Cleanse me from all my sins. Make my life a brand new life. Change me from the inside out. Let me live a life worthy of you. I open my heart and I invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart, to be my master and my savior. I hand over the keys of my life tonight to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'll trust Him. I will follow Him. I will obey Him. And I will walk with Him for the rest of my days. Thank you, Father, that by this prayer, I am born again. I am a brand new person. My life has changed. I receive your light. I receive your glory. And I receive your grace. Thank you for writing my name in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I pray for these wonderful folks that came forward, declaring you as their Lord and their Savior. Your word says there's nobody who comes to you that you will deny access and room. And I know that as they have confessed and as they've made this declaration in your presence, in the presence of these witnesses, Lord, you have forgiven them of their sins and you have given them yet another chance. I pray for grace. I pray, Lord, you watch over them. I pray, Lord, you keep them. Let them not fall. Let this step not be a frivolous step. Let it not be another of those decisions we make that we are not serious with. But let this one with you be one of the most serious decisions we've ever taken in our lives. I pray without your help, they cannot make it. And therefore, help them. Be gracious unto them and help them on this road. I know they will make it. I know they will make it. I declare you will make it until the end. Thank you, Father, for hearing me when I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.